There's got to be an explanation to all these UFO sightings, right? Hey, it's Stephen Diener, host of the Unidentified Alien Podcast. And whether you're new to the conversation or have been looking into it for years, you need to check out the fastest growing alien show out there, the Unidentified Alien Podcast, or UAP for short. There's a crazy amount of alien encounter stories out there from all over the world. And the beauty of it is that I bring them all to you and let you decide what you believe. Download and subscribe to UAP on any of the major podcasting platforms. And you can also find it on UAPpodcast.com.
Hi, everybody. This is Adriana Trigiani. I'm the host of You Are What You Read. I have the privilege of interviewing luminaries of our times about the books that shaped them from childhood until now. We get everybody from Sarah Jessica Parker to Kristen Hanna, Mitch Albom, Susie Essman, Craig Ferguson, Rainn Wilson, Amor Towles, you name it, they come, they share. New episodes of You Are What You Read drop every Tuesday on Apple, Spotify, or any major streaming platform wherever you listen to your podcasts.
It's the Lori and Julia Show for your Monday afternoon here on MyTalk 107.1. Everything entertainment. We have covered a lot of ground today. Very busy Monday, but more ground to cover before we put the ribbon on this particular episode of the program.
That's right. I give my best dress for the Critics' Choice last night. Donnie posted the gallery. Anne Hathaway wearing gold Versace, looking like a golden statue herself.
She looked gorgeous.
But did she have a baby, like 4 or 5 months
ago? Yes, she did.
She just had the glow.
And I was wondering why she was there. Was she a winner last year?
No, she only gave birth in December.
Oh, for credit. Well, okay, I'm just going to tell you, when you have your youth, and you,
well, she's got a little, you can see,
I was in jeans, literally in my old jeans 3 weeks after I delivered baby number two.
Oh, you little happy breaker.
No, well, that's the only time in my life I told you that I ever was lucky.
I think Anne wore that dress right now because her boobs were everything in that dress. That, she's more small breast privilege, and she's got like full, and that dress needed cleavage.
Yes.
I loved what she was wearing.
Okay, Lori, did you read something that Prince Harry showed up 2 hours early and had a private meeting with the Queen today?
I wouldn't
saw it on the Daily Mail.
Yeah, that's what I'm reading.
I wouldn't be surprised if that happened.
That he showed up early.
He put his head in her lap and cried.
Grandma.
And please. Cried. You know, they have a special bond.
Yeah.
She and Harry.
And this is her most personal statement. We've talked about her statement that they will let them figure out what it's going to be, but he needs to work with his dad and his brother on it.
Yeah.
Her most personal statement since the passing of Diana.
Probably. Mm-hmm. And that was only because she mishandled it for so long.
Right. And people were pissed at her. Like, jeez. You need to recognize that she was an icon. Yeah. So anyway.
The story, I don't know if it was true. It was from The Sun, was that Prince Harry confronted David Beckham over a couple of Meghan Markle leaks. And I wonder if that story is true, because apparently Victoria Beckham told Meghan, you know, this is a good salon to get your bits waxed.
I remember.
This is a good nail salon. Yep. This is a good hair person. You know, when you move, you got to find all new beauty squad.
Of course, yeah.
Anyway.
So was Victoria the leak, maybe?
Well,
no. No.
I don't think so.
But if he confronted Beckham, I mean.
But is this a made-up story?
Right,
it is coming from The Sun.
We don't.
Because they call him the paranoid prince. I refuse to call Harry paranoid. He's protective.
All right, fine.
The princess has led the prince out of the ivory tower.
All right.
What a Disney spin.
All right.
Okay, so how about this, Julia? How about this little story? Zayn Malik and Gigi Hadid, remember when she was like a flirting with his mom over Insta a week ago?
Yeah.
They're back together.
Yeah.
They broke up for a solid year. And now they're back together, and they're just feeling so grown up about it. He's 27 and she's 24.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing like getting back together. Like, you know, you show somebody, I'm living the single girl life, or I'm living the single guy life. And then all of a sudden you start dating, and then you go, oh, God, maybe I do miss that person.
Maybe that was the one.
A year breakup is good.
A year?
Well, yeah, I think so. Like, like to decide whether or not you're... You know,
you're going to be,
if you want to get back together, like, you know, she hung out with that bachelor guy and You know, right? I mean, she maybe had some fun. Maybe she was the one that broke up with him because she hadn't dated very much.
Oh, there you go.
You know,
that could totally be true.
Billy Porter, going back to the Critics' Choice, he wore a dress last night.
I have to admit, I didn't like it.
And then fake butterfly tattoos all up and down his arms.
I was trying to embrace, I'm not ready for the full strapless look. I just didn't think it was a good look for him. I think he does better with his blazer and a skirt or,
You know where it went wrong for me? All of the tragic butterflies.
They're all over.
Tattoos.
Yeah.
That's where that outfit went wrong.
That's a good place for it to go wrong.
Brad Pitt, like you said, he wasn't there last night to pick up Best Supporting, but it was virtually a repeat of every single Golden Globes in the movie category.
Yeah.
Every single Best Director was Parasite. Yep. It was actually a tie between him and Sam Mendes for 1917. Best Supporting was Laura Dern for Marriage Story. Yes. Best Supporting was Renee Zellweger and Brad Pitt. Then Joaquin won. And then Once Upon a Time in Hollywood won. Right. And Joaquin Phoenix, I don't know if you watched him, his 60 Minutes, Anderson Cooper.
No.
I thought it was good.
I thought it was pretty good, too. His whole family has never really sat down and been interviewed, and they talked about River Phoenix.
His brother that passed away in front of the Viper Room. Gosh.
And Joaquin,
30 years ago or whatever. Didn't Joaquin find him? Wasn't he with them?
They were there. Yeah.
I don't think it was 30 years ago.
80s, wasn't it?
Maybe early 90s or something. But, I mean, you love to get the details just right on that.
I really don't care.
I know, but...
The only thing I want to talk... Go ahead.
I mean, 93.
Okay. It just... The family... Like, they showed this home movie of how they used to, like, perform on Hollywood Boulevard, like, by in front of Grauman's Theater to, like, make some money.
The Arquette family did that as well, if you remember them talking about that.
Yeah, because they stopped being part of the Children of God cult and living in South America and moved back to L.A., and it was just a way to make some money because they were so poor.
Yeah, isn't that wild? Because there are still people performing in front of Grauman's Theater, but they're wearing superhero things or they're wearing Snow White or something like that.
Rooney did not come up. That must have been
off limits.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, just in time and 20 years late, the iconic Versace dress that Jennifer Lopez wore to the 2000 Grammys.
Don't even tell me we can own it now.
That started, the Google images started as a result of so many people looking for that dress. They've just come out with a $1,500 Medusa frame jungle print time piece with Roman numerals that will take you back in time. So the wrap, it's a watch with a cloth wrap band that you wrap. It looks like a Versace scarf, but it's made out of J-Lo's dress material. So that is available 20 minutes.
It's kind of cute.
Which I don't want to have to tie a watch on.
Yeah,
I'd never get that on. Never and think of how dirty that would get.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, I like to be practical a little bit.
It is 20 years too late.
It's 20 years too late.
You mentioned the price.
It's $1,500.
Oh, okay.
It's coming out in May.
You could,
but it comes with an interchangeable black leather strap for a more subtle swap. But I just
You can find an old watch and get and a swatch of fabric. And
yeah,
just
you
do
could
it yourself.
And just pretend. Yeah,
right.
That's
exactly right.
That's exactly what's going on there. And you know, kudos to Jeff Bezos, one of the richest men in the world. He gave the Australia fire victims $690,000, and it's the same as giving 0.00006 of your salary.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What do we think of him? I got to be honest. I ordered one thing off Amazon that I couldn't find in a store.
Yeah.
And it's the size. It's a little Trish McVoy. The makeup lady.
Yeah.
And it's the size smaller than a size of nail polish. Okay, and what it does is it's liquid, and you put it on your eye powder, your eyeshadow, and it makes it liquid and waterproof, and I use that for a tight line.
Yeah.
And I was out, and I couldn't find it anywhere, so it's that littler than a nail polish bottle. It came in a box for shoes.
Yeah.
And then I just sat there and felt such shame, And then the box was kind of open, and I thought, did someone take my one little dumb thing out of the shoebox?
Like, why don't they get some, like, small padded envelope? I don't understand.
Listen to me. I had such purchase shame.
They should have some kind of a contest or something, even within, like, with their workers, and give somebody, like, money for coming up with, you know, saving.
I've gotten stuff in padded envelopes from that.
I have too.
I couldn't believe it was in such a big box. And I thought, oh, Lordy.
Well.
Lordy. I feel my temperature rising.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know about you.
Hi, Gildas.
Okay, so the Oscars thing is it's heating up. People have had time to digest it, and people are writing think pieces, thought pieces
about
it's Taron Egerton being snubbed for Rocketman. He won the Golden Globes. He beat Leonardo DiCaprio.
He's brilliant.
Earned a SAG, earned a BAFTA nomination.
Right.
The Best Actor race was too crowded. Still, it doesn't seem fair that Rami Malek, who lip-synced as Freddie Mercury in Bohemian Rhapsody, would win last year's Best Actor Oscar, while Egerton, who really did sing all of Elton John's songs, didn't even get nominated. So that's one. Vanity Fair, this writer, this is what they suspect is going on with the J-Lo Hustler nomination, which is a snub because she was pretty universally tour de force role for her. So this Vanity Fair writer says, I suspect something was going on with Lopez and Hustlers, which is that she did everything wrong. She dared to play a character, used her sexuality for a profession and didn't regret it. She committed the unforgivable sin of being sympathetic and then not sympathetic. Mm-hmm. Then she took her public image and spectacularly amplified and reworked it to suit a complicated character. That's not what the Academy wants from J-Lo. They want her to scrub off her makeup and play a poor mother dying of something who tries to find someone to take care of her kids. They want a role that says, look how serious I am, look how willing I am.
Like Monster was
to punish myself for you. That kind of self-abasement is something the Academy loves to see.
That's
from women.
My point.
From women.
Yep. Yes.
The Academy has never been good at looking at a performance like the one Jennifer Lopez gives in Hustler and understanding it is serious, committed, and carefully crafted, as this kind of stuff is. Actors of all people should know better.
So, and it's actors who nominate the acting awards. It's directors who nominate the directing awards. Writer for the writing screenplay.
So we'll see. I mean, maybe she'll surprise everybody and get a Screen Actor Guild Awards. I'm going to keep my fingers crossed for her that she would get that ultimate accolade. And then we get to see her in the in the media room, and then we can see her, you know. You can think of your question.
If he comes back there with her,
no,
and
he
you know
won't.
Who I'm talking about.
They never, A-Rod.
How do you know? I feel like he's everywhere with her. He's like
because they don't.
You know the game Whack-A-Mole?
But they keep turning. But they don't come. We know they go on stage and then go off stage and then they're in the hands of a handler getting walked from room to room.
But if you remember, when Reese Witherspoon won for Walk the Line.
But he was back because they won Ensemble for Crash. That's why Ryan Phillippe was back there.
That's why he was back there, and I called him Mr. Witherspoon.
No, there's Reese Witherspoon's husband.
That was it. That's not bad.
Yes. I'd be proud to be Reese Witherspoon's husband.
Damn right I am.
And he goes, Ryan Phillippe. I mean,
did
it's
he
like,
say that?
Yes,
even
and I just
did.
Looked, we looked just at like, you and I go, Trouble in Paradise.
When you when did. You
I
totally did.
Because I someone should be happy to be identified as Mr. or Mrs. if something exciting has happened that night. Who
you
cares?
Totally did.
Yeah, I did.
Look
at the time. We got to go. It's time for the Dirt Alert.
This is a My Talk Dirt Alert.
All right, Holly, it's time for the Dirt Alert. I just we're interested in your dirty take on the Oscar nominations.
You know, it's one of those things where you take a step forward and then maybe you take two steps back. I think, speaking for personal disappointment, that Joker is leading the nominations with 11 nominations. Now, having seen that film, it's fine. Joaquin Phoenix's performance.
I thought his performance was amazing.
Yes.
And the movie is fine.
Yes. It's also called The King of Comedy. You can rent it for $3.99 on Amazon Prime right now.
Yeah.
Because it is essentially a complete, well, not a complete lift, but it highly lifts from that movie where Robert De Niro plays essentially the Joaquin Phoenix Joker character as an obsessed fan who finds his way onto a late night TV show. So go and watch that movie. Mm-hmm. Also, we were talking about the fact that Todd Phillips got nominated for directing that movie, was just woof.
I'm Bradley Trainer,
and I'm Don McClain. We have a podcast called Blinded by the Item.
A blind item is gossip about a celebrity with their name left out. It's a guessing game, and you can play along. The item might be like, this A-list star carries a Birkin bag worth more than the average person's house to the gym to work out.
Pretty sure that's J-Lo.
And P.S. the person behind all of this is Kris Jenner,
LLC. We drop a new episode every weekday so the fun never ends.
Blinded by the Item. Listen wherever you get podcasts and watch us on the Blinded by the Item YouTube channel.
No, there are a lot
of
people.
Kathy Bates getting J-Lo's nomination for Richard Jewell. A bomb of a movie, but everyone in the Academy all watches because it's Clint Eastwood.
Yeah.
And they know who she is.
Right. So now I'm interested in going to see Richard Jewell because it came out
and not, it
just disappeared, didn't get a lot of marketing behind it, and so now Kathy Bates has an Oscar nominated performance in that movie, and like Scarlett Johansson getting nominated twice
is a what the hell.
Yeah, there's a lot of questionable things going on in this year's Oscar nominees,
and also Taron Egerton.
Right. Julia, you liked that performance a lot, didn't you?
Oh my gosh. Yeah. He was amazing. Yeah. He was amazing. And he's saying everything.
Yeah.
But they're like, oh, we can't give it to two musical biopics, but we'll have to screen those for 10 more years.
Okay, please. Which is just total trash because the Oscars like to give awards to people who portray real life people. Yes, they like to do that. There's no reason why they wouldn't do that back to back, or at least give Taron Egerton a nomination, because by all means, I haven't seen Rocket Man, but everyone who has watched the film is just amazing.
I mean, he's got SAG, BAFTA.
Yeah,
I mean,
it's amazing. Yeah. He's amazing.
Yeah. And by the way, Greta Gerwig, the director, writer of Little Women, wrote an open letter giving her gratitude to everyone who was involved in this project. And she did sign the letter. Greta Gerwig, nominee, best adapted screenplay. For Little Women, giving her little kind of
two of her actresses, because that was a surprise. Florence Pugh playing Amy, but not Saoirse Ronan. She's been nominated for everything for Jo March.
And, she has,
and they are the. I mean, I think that Saoirse is the best Jo we've ever seen on screen, and I think Amy has been the freshest Amy we've seen. Florence Pugh.
Pugh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you said that. Even off the air when you saw Little Women, you were like, she is the best Amy, and this is just
so
wonderful.
Because Amy has always been kind of like, she hasn't been that light. The way Greta, I don't know, it was so much. The cast was incredibly upset that Greta wasn't nominated.
Well,
their acting performances, and then
and kind of watch out, because this is what the Oscars like to do. So they nominated Greta Gerwig for best adapted screenplay for Little Women. Watch for her winning this, because a lot of times the way that the Oscars work is that they'll nominate you for something because they didn't nominate you for something else. So Greta didn't get nominated for Best Director. Fine, we're going to nominate her for Best Adapted Screenplay, and we're going to give her the Oscar.
But how does that happen,
Holly? Because the actors nominate the actors, the directors nominate the directors, the writers nominate the directors. Writers.
Mm-hmm.
So screenplay is writing.
Yeah.
Directing is a different one. And if she didn't get it over here, so they say that.
But everybody votes on everything at the ballot.
No. I guess that's not true, because this morning, the way the nomination started out is the gentleman who, on behalf of the Academy, here's how these are done.
But I thought everybody got to vote on everything.
No, for
who gets the Oscar. I'm not talking for who's being nominated, but the actual at the end of the
maybe that's true.
That is true.
But to get today.
Yeah.
It was by the specific categories.
Yeah, and I can't speak to the actual voting process, and I will do my homework, and I'll look into that more. But just looking at...
All of what each of you said is true.
True.
Okay. Everybody's true.
Well, it is. Yeah. Today.
So now today, with this list, then everyone in the Academy will vote on all of this.
Right.
And so people who will see... But people will see, didn't get the director.
She didn't get it for here. That's when that will come. Okay.
Yeah. And this has happened in the past... Unfortunately, I can't point out specific examples of this, but you see it happen all the time. Oh, you know what it happened for? It happened with Spike Lee last year with BlacKkKlansman. Yes. He was nominated for that film, which was a great film, best film of 2018, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. And he should have won Best Director. He should have won the Best Picture, but they gave him Best Screenplay. And that was kind of a de facto, well, sorry, Spike, we're not going to give you this award, but we're going to give you the screenplay award. It's like kind of winning the bronze medal at the Olympics, essentially. So that's what's happening over there in Oscar town. Let's talk about what's happening over in New York City, where Gigi Hadid has been called as a potential juror in Harvey Weinstein's sexual assault case. She was spotted outside a Manhattan courtroom this morning with 119 other prospective panelists on the fifth day of jury selection. And when the judge asked potential jurors, anyone believe you know me, the defendant, or any one of the lawyers, she raised her hand and she said, I have met the defendant. So Gigi Hadid has met Harvey Weinstein. The judge asked, do you think you can be a fair and impartial juror in the case?
No. She said no.
She replied yes.
Oh, she did?
Yes.
Wants to get on that jury.
Then a judge read a list of more than 80 names of potential witnesses and people who may be referenced during the testimony. That list included Selma Hayek, Charlize Theron, Rosie Perez. He asked a prospective panelist whether anyone knows them. And then Hadid raised her hand again. She said, I've met Selma Hayek and possibly Ryan Beatty. So she was going through all of these questions and she's being vetted as a potential juror in Harvey Weinstein's criminal case.
There's no way they'll keep her since she knows these people. Plus, she's friends with Cara Delevingne.
Right.
And she's part of this. She has a Harvey story.
Yes. And so openings are slated to begin January 22nd. If convicted, Harvey Weinstein faces life in prison. Ooh. There he goes. And Josh Hartnett is giving a new interview.
Saw that. What is he in the news for?
You know, I can't figure that out, Julia.
It's a non-news story. Exactly. This is literally a non-news story.
Right. But this is a non-news story about Josh Hartnett turning down the roles of Superman only. He never turned down Spider-Man or Batman, contrary to popular belief. Now, Josh Hartnett did take a meeting with director Christopher Nolan, who did those Batman movies about a decade ago. And Josh Hartnett said there's a lot of misinformation out there. He said, when you say one thing about one time, it gets blown up. He said, I really just don't want to tell that story over and over again. So Josh Hartnett was never going to play Batman, never going to play Spider-Man, although he was in consideration for Superman. So he's just setting the record straight here.
Well, I'm sorry it didn't happen, because then Josh, you know, you'd have that, Batman money, and then you could make some other movies.
No kidding. Lauren.
Like, that's what Michael B. Jordan, with his Black Panther money, he set up his own production thing and got Just Mercy made, and that movie is amazing, Holly.
Oh, I want to see it.
It is so good. Oh. It is incredible.
Well, and look at Scarlett Johansson, how that's worked out for her. She got that Marvel movie money, and now she's nominated for 2 Oscars and 2 different movies.
Yeah, you're right.
That's how it works. All right, My Talk traffic is going to start right around Woodbury. Want to let you know that school bus fire that was happening by 494 northbound and Carver Avenue has been completely cleared off the system. All lanes of traffic are open and no injuries are being reported as a result of that school bus fire. 494 eastbound, a stalled vehicle blocking a lane from 24th Avenue to Cedar Avenue. And Maplewood, 94 eastbound, a crash from Wiper Avenue to Ruth Street. And 694 westbound, a crash from East River Road to University Avenue. In Lilydale, got a stalled vehicle blocking a lane 35 east southbound. That's happening by Highway 13 to right around West 7th Street. And in Maple Grove, 94 westbound, a crash from Weaver Lake Road to 494. Your 5 Eyewitness News weather forecast tonight. Watch out, maybe about an inch of snow falling tonight, low 26. Morning clouds, afternoon sun tomorrow with a high of 31. Right now, 26 and cloudy.
Listen wherever you are, whenever you want, with the My Talk app. Live streaming and on-demand podcasts right there in your pocket. Download today at mytalk1071.com, keyword app.
Let's talk about sex.
Let's talk about sex now to the people at home or in the crowd.
Oh, let me collect myself.
I know. We're talking about sex. We're going to have a hottie on tomorrow.
Oh, I know it. I know it. Okay, so I really meant to get to this sex story last week and the week before and blah, blah, blah. But I wanted to look back on everything we learned. We've been on the air together. We've been each other's Gail. We've had Donnie. We've been on 17 and a half years. But I wanted to see what are some of the most interesting findings about love and sex in the last 10 years.
Sort of a greatest hits.
Kind of.
Okay. All right.
The most interesting things from the world of social science. Okay. So, and let's see I hope we covered all of these things. Okay.
All right. Let's see.
One of the funniest ones I feel like I remember us talking about that men having affairs are more likely to break their penises to get that injury.
Yes, I do remember that fact, too.
Guys, be wary of the 5 to 7 p.m. relationships you're having with someone who's not your partner. That casual affair might result in a fractured peen. According, this was 2011, it was the Journal of Sexual Medicine. Cheating makes a man more likely to suffer from penile fractures.
I totally remember this. And we're like, why?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, they're more adventuresome.
It's like you're not really breaking it. You're rupturing one of the tube-like chambers you got in your wiener.
You're trying more.
Why? Because if a guy's having extramarital affair or he's having the rush sex, you're in a weird place, blah, blah, blah. That you don't see men fracturing their peens in the bedroom because it's you're in a comfortable position. Everybody's comfortable. Maybe you're you're not in a risky situation. You're not wham bam thank you man or trying to get something. So anyway, so we do remember that one. Okay. Mm-hmm. Do you remember us talking about this one, that the sexual afterglow you feel after sex lasts 48 hours?
Yes.
I think so.
That was in 2017. That was only 3 years ago, Julia, that we found out that the positive effects of getting laid last up to 2 days and that the feeling, you know, it helps people bond. And so they posited that the evolutionary reason for the 48-hour shelf life is that's when conception is maximized. It takes sperm concentrations 48 hours to get back to peak levels.
Oh.
And sperm is viable for 48 hours.
Oh.
In your reproductive tract.
So that just is the magic number, 48 all the way around.
So the lingering cognitive implications, if you will, the sexual afterglow lasts the same amount of time as the biological.
Look at that, Mother Nature. That's a good one. Fascinating.
Okay, now this one was couples who share chores have better sex lives.
Yes.
This was 2015, 5 years ago, we learned this, that couples who divvied up the chores had higher relationship satisfaction and had more sex than the couples who didn't mutually contribute.
And I think that originally like started out like if men did dishes, they could get laid more. I mean, I'm thinking of how long we've been on the air. I felt like that was it.
That was a starting point. Yep. But now people have gotten, they want more equitable, yep, regardless of who's the husband, who's the wife or whatever. But, you know, good. So that was good to be reminded of. Let's see. What else did we learn? We learned we were in the middle of a millennial sex recession. This gave me no joy to bring to you people.
Yeah,
remember this?
Yeah.
The year, December 2018, only a mere, you know,
two years ago.
Mm-hmm. The Atlantic ran a cover story, hyper dramatic headline, "The Sex Recession, Why Young People Are Retreating from Sex and What This Means." So it was a study that today's young people are on track to have fewer sex partners than members of the 2 or 3 or 4 preceding generations.
And they're slutty parents.
Yeah, that's right.
Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
There you go.
And it's probably because there's more
entertainment available for kids than there was.
For masturbation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. I didn't even want to go there. But that's what it is. Okay.
There's a lot of porn options. Masturbation.
But I also think
people don't count oral sex is sex.
Well, and I also think, Lori, if you think about it, when we grew up, there was not all the options for entertainment outside of masturbating. I'm talking about gaming. I'm talking about all the television options in your house. I mean, we had three channels, four channels.
Right.
Or to go out. We didn't have phones to be connected. I mean, we didn't
have
any.
But that is not the reason why people were not having sex. I mean, 15% of millennials had no sex since they reached adulthood.
What's wrong with them?
I don't know.
All right.
Okay, most of us, I remember this one, most of us are trying to date out of our league. that's right. This was the
journal. People are trying to date us out of their league.
This was in Science Advances. It's the year is August 2018. I'm pretty sure I used this at the state fair. The researchers looked at thousands of messages exchanged on an unnamed popular free online dating service. And they looked at responses of 200,000 men and women. And after a month of careful observation, they found most online daters tended to message people who were way more desirable.
Well, you think you got a chance.
With desirability determined by how many messages the person is getting, so you could tell. So anyway, that was kind of a fun one. This one.
Why not? They can only say no. Exactly. I mean, everyone used to say that. Go for it. What's going to happen? You can only hear no.
Oh, my gosh.
That's not that bad.
I don't know. I don't know if we covered this one, but I completely agree with this. If your ex wants to be friends, they might be a psychopath. Huh? Remember, I've always said no reason to be friends with your ex if you haven't had kids together. Okay.
Right.
There's just no reason for it because no good usually comes of it. And 2016, I don't remember this one, you guys. This was research from Oakland University in Michigan that found that people with the so-called dark triad of personality traits often keep their exes around for calculating self-serving purposes. Sometimes it's to get sexual access. Sometimes it's a financial thing. Sometimes it's a need to exert self-control. So they're really, I don't think that we talked about this one, but sometimes I think, particularly with women, in an effort to be nice, I can be friends with my exes. There's no point in it. If you didn't have children with them and you don't want to be with them any longer, move along.
There you go.
Move along.
All right, there you go.
Just move along because it might be a psychopath. Let's see. How about this one? Remember we talked about schlubby leading men with the Hot Wives Club?
Yes.
2017 is when we learned from Florida State University that in successful relationships, the woman is happier with a less attractive man. She's more, in other words, the woman is prettier than the guy.
Yeah.
Yep.
And
why did we decide that was true?
Because when your husband is physically more attractive than you, for whatever reason,
you have to work too
hard? No, for the results reveal, this is according to the research. The research reveals that having a very physically attractive husband may have negative consequences for their partners, especially if those partners are not particularly attractive.
Okay.
People always, what?
Yeah, it makes sense.
And,
And
if a man is a little bit less attractive, it's like beautiful people find beautiful. People usually are on the same compatibility line of looks.
All right. I agree. Yes.
But
we're listening.
How do we say this, Julia? How do we say this?
What are you trying to say?
I'm trying to say that when the man is really handsome and then the woman is not, if she's just plain, people are
mean.
People are mean.
Yep.
What people are throwing themselves maybe at the person.
She must have money. Judgments.
Right. Yeah. So women are happier with a guy that's just not quite as great looking as they are, or average looking, or whatever they are. Mm-hmm. Okay. So I do feel like we discussed that one.
We did, I believe.
Here's another one. If you want to get married, your best bet is to marry between the ages of 25 and 32. We learned that 5 years ago. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, you were married between those ages.
I was
too. Once you're past your early 30s, oh, we were so mad at this. I remember this. It was from the National Survey of Family Growth. And it found that while the risk of marriage ending in divorce declined steadily as marital ages, you know, at least went from teens into the late 20s, mm-hmm. it then starts to rise again. Once you reach the age of 32 before getting married, the odds of getting divorced go up. The sweet spot, statistically speaking.
That's your sweet spot.
25 to 32.
All right.
Jeez. We were mad about that. I remember that.
All right.
How about this one? Divorce can be potentially deadly for men.
Right. It isn't good.
The University of... It was the most Debbie Downer divorce research we had of the 2010s, Jules. That divorced, and this is why guys partner up right away again. So, it's like you guys have a caveman instinct. Divorced and unmarried men have higher rates of mortality and more prone to substance abuse and depression than married men. It didn't matter gay or straight. When you're partnered up, the men are more likely to be risky. Depression is also more common for a divorced man than a married man and blah, blah, blah. But it was the Debbie Downer. But it's also one reason why you see men so quickly jump into a relationship. They want someone to take care of them. And you see women, if we're talking hetero, they're not so quick to jump into something because right. you're like, I'm free. I'm free from all of that.
Yeah.
So,
all righty, good all stuff. Right.
That's all the stuff we learned. So I don't know what we're going to learn in the next 10 years.
Oh, stop. There's going to be so many. There's so much more to learn.
And the year same-sex marriage was legalized, we did talk about this. Gay couples stay together longer than heterosexual couples. Remember?
Yes.
We talked about that. And we were just like, why don't they just let everyone have the right to be married?
What year was that? 2015, 2016?
It would have been, I think 2015.
You mean here in Minnesota?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't remember.
Boy. All right.
But I see how time flies. This is why we had to do the
decade in review.
The sex decade in review.
Thank you.
All right. We'll be right back.
Fun. Follow us on social media. Find My Talk 107.1 on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter.
Even if I scandalize you, cut you down, criticize you, tell a million lies about you, what would you say?
Julia and I are having a discussion. She says her first tennis game is always really bad. And I said, my first bowling game is usually always bad.
I'm so bad right now.
You're just warming up. You know, you're warm. Are you doing your warm-ups before your game?
Oh, yeah.
Were you cold when you started?
Because you
got to be warmed up, Julia.
Well, it's hard because you just go on and you do a quick one. No, I'm just not that good. I'm surprised. I feel like... I should be better than I am at tennis.
Julia, welcome.
After all these years, I'm just really not that good.
League sport, okay? Anyone who is in a league, I don't care if it's bowling, golf, darts, whatever it is, you kind of plateau at a certain point. Like, you kind of get as good as you get.
I feel like I should be better, but I'm just not.
Well, then I should be rolling 300s for as many years as I've bowled.
But it kind of freaks you out that you just don't get better.
It's in your head.
Well, it is in your head.
The first match thing, I think, is in her head.
Well, no,
sometimes you're not warmed up.
Well, there.
You really don't have time when you play these matches. You have 10 minutes to do all your hitting, you know, to get warmed up. But it doesn't matter. It surprises me.
Like, did you just watch a lot of balls go by?
Sometimes I wish my body would move or my arm would move and it doesn't.
Yeah,
and I get hit.
I've had frozen foot at the tennis court. I just go, wow, I should have moved and I could have got that if I'd even thrown out my arm.
And it just comes so fast, and you're just like, oh, that was mine.
Julia, the shame of a gutter ball is real, real.
Oh, a gutter ball would be real.
It's a real, real, especially if you're a longtime bowler, and sometimes you just sort of trip up, or it slips off your thumb, but it's the longest walk back to your teammates, because no one even looks at you in the eye.
Shame. No, seriously. Yeah.
And everyone does it. Even the best of bowlers can just, you can just have a hiccup in your step or something. Sure. But, I mean, that's when I really say all my colorful swear words.
Right.
That aren't really swear words, but are like my dad's corny sailor sayings.
I just keep thinking this is fun, right? When I miss, you know, I'm here for the fun. Sure. But I played with this man. I'm on a mixed doubles team. It's brand new for me last night. And he just started playing tennis this summer.
Oh, my.
Oh, wow.
And is already way better.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I mean, so sometimes you just think,
how about all the football this weekend?
Oh,
talk about the football fans.
Fun. Every game was great to watch except for ours.
Oh, that stunk.
That was just horrible. Game. It was a non.
Did you watch the Kansas City, the comeback game of the.
Yeah.
And then I, Casey, after everybody left, after the Viking fans, you know, shuffled out of our house, and it didn't matter if there were women there or not. Casey, because you want to watch the Baltimore Ravens and the Titans game. Corey said this young quarterback on Baltimore is really
Lamar
good.
Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, and then there's this other really great guy. We'll watch. He goes, and I kind of like your football talk.
That is hysterical.
Isn't it?
Okay, now that to me, because Lori informed me on Saturday that it was okay if we wanted to go to my brother's
house. As long as we didn't blab.
Okay, so, and I'm like, and then I decided at that point I'd already been
dissed once already.
That I didn't care anymore.
Yeah.
And my kids weren't going, so I'm like, I'm not.
And didn't you go to a fun bar?
I did. We went to a little bar after Oprah and watched a little of the game, and it was just such a bummer of a game.
Yeah. So,
but I didn't even care because the other games were fun in Green Bay.
The Baltimore Titan game, I mean, that was kind of fun watching that, and I did try watching the Seattle game, but then I just realized this is not me. I watched a little football on Saturday.
I've already done it. I can't do it 2 days
after my Oprah high. I've given my husband some chuckles with my amazing football observations.
Oprah was a high. That was a high light, and I'm telling people.
And you know what I did? It made me so happy. Hmm. I went. The Vikings did something good when I walked in the door, and Casey said, "Don't move."
Superstitious.
Oh, then the whistle blow, and then I said, "Hi, everybody." Oprah was really great, and then I tiptoed and I laid in bed and I read the recipe for a perfect wife. So happy reading that book, and I could tell by the lack of sounds of great cheer that nothing was happening.
Nothing.
And then I called my mom and told her how great Oprah was, and that I wish she was coming to Seattle. Mm.
People would. I mean, that was.
Oh, say, Julia, you should watch 60 Minutes on Demand because you missed Rafi Nadal.
Oh, yeah, that was the third story.
Delicious, Danny?
Really good story.
Really good story.
He's a great guy. He's great. He's a good person.
Yeah, and with all the tennis heating up and.